The Unforgettable Fire. You too. Our band, well known for their lovely Irish ways. As we head into the next part of the Midweek Drive on Siren Radio, it's a sheer joy now to be able to actually look around the schedules and without any further ado finally say it's time to welcome back that awesome actress, basically the tremendous talent that is Annette André. How are you, Annette?
I'm very well, thank you, particularly after that lead-in.
It's the only way forward, Annette. We always call them as we see them, and the bases on which the whole programme sort of rests and does all the bits and pieces. And I say next week, of course, not that we're looking ahead too much, but we'll have choirs to serenade yourself and Arthur on the show. So it's great stuff, singing
right.
Christmas carols and so on. So good news there. Meanwhile, as we've had Thanksgiving, as Donald Trump has now gone round to say that Jerusalem is indeed the main capital of Israel.
Please.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. You know what? You know, if ever you think, just when you think he might be settling down, he comes and rolls another sort of thing out. You say, "Don't do that."
I know. There's a lot of things I could say here, but I won't.
Indeed, true. Well, whilst you're actually doing this next audio missive, we may also be connecting with one of our new correspondents who's actually based in Romania. So by the time we've actually wrapped up this whole routine, we may be able to connect San Diego, Lincoln, and Romania with a wonderful actress called Lara Roxana Popa, who's currently sort of based in Romania. So that's the... Meanwhile, Eva McDonald is our sole midweek drivette in the studio.
I am.
So she's doing wonderful things there. What would you like to share with us this fine day, Annette?
Well, you must remember this as time goes by. When Dooley Wilson sang this to Ingrid Bergman in Casablanca, my husband Arthur took it to heart. As he's grown older, he's been aware that his memory has developed random gaps. For example, when he attempted to remember why Betty Davis asked him if he was evil or just plain stupid, he had trouble remembering why he was the object of her attention. Being a writer, words and their shades of meaning are of equal importance to him, and so he has developed a daily ritual designed to strengthen his memory and vocabulary. Each morning, before coffee and bagel, he recites to himself a litany of friends and family, current and gone, favorite restaurants, entertainers from his youth, and like a bloodhound, he searches for answers to the blanks that stop him from recalling, who sang that song about a man who kicked old Buddha's gong? Well, to an actor, the ability to quickly memorize dialogue is genetic to the craft, and I was blessed in my career with an ability to swiftly absorb great gobs of speeches. Very often, scripts with rewritten scenes would be delivered to my flat late in the evening to be filmed early the next morning, and it was rare for me to need a dialogue prompt from the script girl. But now, as I've been writing my memoir these past few years, I found Arthur's method of retrieving memories essential. Events I recall are often out of whack with calendar dates, and I've discovered that I have a magician's sleight of hand in placing the wrong actors in the right show. It's like playing a newsreel of my life in reverse to put things right. As a child, I spent long stretches bedridden with a chronic lung ailment. It was a terribly lonely time for an only child. I had no friends who might have brought relief to my yearning for a normal life. And so, out of a survival instinct, I created an imaginary world built on the comings and goings in the street outside my bedroom window. These were the early days of World War II, and the rationing of petrol was the savior of the street vendors and tradesmen who still used horse-drawn wagons. It's the miracle of memory that sitting here at my desk in Southern California, I can travel back 7,000 miles and 7 decades to my childhood bedroom, and faster than the speed of summer lightning, hear the clop and rattle of the greengrocer's horse and wagon turning into Hayburn Avenue as if it were only a minute ago. I cashed the old clothes, I cashed the pots and pans, sung out the small Italian man in his heavily accented falsetto as he sat atop a wagon piled teeteringly high with the morning's trades. Ich gut heiß, clean heiß, came the the guttural chant of the huge German man as he staggered up our stairs with a block of ice for our ice chest in the kitchen. On Tuesdays, the sharp whine of the knife and scissor grinder was soon followed by the lilting chimes of the milk and bread wagon, painted gleaming white, matching the delivery man's starched uniform. Although there are days when I struggle to remember what I ate for breakfast, it's with startling clarity that I see myself racing to my bedroom window at the first sounds of approaching horses and wagons, with the same excitement as if they were the advance troop of a circus parade. And so, that window in my bedroom, in a nondescript house, in a nondescript neighborhood in Sydney, Australia, became my stage door to a world limited only by my imagination. Fueled by my weekly allotment of novels and picture books of far-off lands that my parents brought from the library, and the passing parade in the street below, I fashioned a company of players to cast in the ballets, plays, and radio soaps I created and starred in, where in reality I was agonizingly shy and became tongue-tied when introduced to a stranger as the exotically beautiful Queen Serena. I could generously forgive the handsome Prince Percival for attempting a palace coup. And for a confusion of reasons to my 8-year-old mind, the prince always appeared before the queen with his arms tightly bound and wearing a silk shirt open to his waist, allowing his ample muscles to ripple as he strained to free himself. By the time I was 10 and making my weekly confession, this rather precocious fantasy somehow failed to make its way into the confessional booth. My memory of those early days is extraordinarily vivid. In what seemed to be an endless incarceration, I began to discover and assemble the basic elements of an actor's kit. Not that I had the slightest notion that what I was engaged in to alleviate the pain of loneliness would one day become my stock in trade. So, there's something very right to me that a film I've seen and loved countless times should also deliver a caution about remembering who we are and where we've come from, the fundamental things in life as time goes by. And now, oh, if I can remember where I put my car keys, I'm off to the gym.
Genius. Absolute genius. I think that's probably my favourite one yet, actually. And actually, we've even managed to get some Dooley Wilson lined up for you in a few moments. So it's,
oh, you have?
Yeah, it's very important.
A quiz for you. Arthur spent, days and days and days trying to remember the song. Who sang the song about a man who kicked old Buddha's gong? Who was it?
George Harrison.
No.
George Harrison did have a song about a man who kicked old Buddha's gong. He did, definitely.
Did he? He may have done.
Yes.
The original was Hoagie Carmichael.
Yes. Yep. Well,
yeah.
See, there was lots of good.
And the other thing for the film, you know, this is the 75th anniversary of Casablanca.
Yeah, 40 years since Star Wars, 75 years since Casablanca. Where does the time go? I don't know. Let's hope that we've managed to work this magical thing through, because as yet we haven't actually heard a great deal from our new Romanian correspondent, but hopefully we can welcome to the programme now Lara Roxana Popa. Are you there, Lara?
Hi, Alex. Yes.
Excellent. Fantastic. So can I do it? I'll do a full introduction here. Annette Andre, fantastic actress in San Diego, AnnetteAndre.com. Lara Roxana Popa, currently based whereabouts in Romania, Lara?
In Bucharest, actually. In
Bucharest. Mm-hmm. And Lara, looking at the line here, you are, again, a multi-talented individual. Looking at LaraRoxanaPopa.com.
Thank you so much.
We've got actress, we've got designer, we've got general all-round wonderful soul writer and so on. Just share with us. I mean, I'm just reading from the actual website here. An actress, writer, designer, co-owner and chief executive officer of Texo Urban Fashions since 2014, a brand that strives to empower women and change stereotypes. Now, hopefully, Annette, you're punching the sky now saying this is good news.
Well, I hope so. If it's sort of directed at my age group, yes.
You're a young individual, basically. But share with us, Laura. Just tell us a little bit about your work and indeed the sort of lines that you're with us from Bucharest onwards. Because I see screenwriter, drama therapist, acting coach, and more, really.
Yeah, thank you so much for your lovely presentation. I have done so many things, and I think I took a wonderful journey so far and trying to discover myself. That's why I did so many things and stopped on acting, found myself in acting, in design, and in writing, basically. And the fashion line takes, so I have started it from the need of having, you know, stylish clothes, comfortable clothes that fit you well. So that's why I offer custom-made clothing for everybody. And I really try, I don't know, maybe I'm an idealist that I really want to change the world, but I do want to change the stereotypes and change the way women are perceived in fashion, in everywhere, basically.
Annette, does that kind of, because it inspires me actually to think that in the 21st century, as we move into all sorts of ways, we've got, Lara, can you share with us, are you in your 20s, 30s? What sort of bracket are we talking about in terms of your experience?
29,
oh,
actually.
Well, there we are. It's
exactly.
Young and lovely. Looking towards film, theatre, writing comics, writing games, travelling in over 70 countries and so on. It's things like this, actually, Annette, that much as every month with your audio missive, I feel, despite the kind of world that we're faced with, you know, there are reasons to be cheerful, reasons to be positive. I mean, Eva, you're here in the studio, again, formally introduce the whole thing. Eva, your thoughts on what we've been listening to from Annette and indeed Lara's work, because you've been looking at her website as well.
I have, yeah, and I've been reading about...
What is your website? What is your website?
Well, for Lara, it's laraoxanapopper.com. That's L-A-R-A, as in Lara's theme, Gone with the Wind. Oh, no, Dr. Zhivago. Let me give you Dr. Zhivago, etc. O-X-A-N-A. popa.com. There we are. More of the stuff. Anyway, Eva.
I've been reading about is it Texo Urban Fashion? I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, the title. But yeah, Lara, how did you come up with the idea for that? Because, urban fashion, it's a really good idea to, like, come up with your own brand and stuff. Mm. How did that come about?
Yeah. Well, I think it kind of came up very naturally. My mom is a fashion designer in Romania, and she had her own line for the Romanian market, and a more elegant, chic line. And I started first to make clothes for myself, because I never could find, you know, clothes that I really like and that fit me well. So, and everybody started complimenting me on these new clothes. So then I thought I should share them with the whole world, right, with... so many, and there are so many women right now who want this and who desire. And even if it's such a great competition, and there are so many fashion brands, and everybody sells clothes now, everybody makes, you know, fashion. Yes. But there is still a great need for this uniqueness, you know, for unique style.
Annette, one of the other aspects, which is why I'm keen that you're involved with us, and hopefully Arthur Weingarten as well, Ace producer, is together with one of our other good friends, Philip Herdwood. One of the aims and objectives that Lara is set to is to revive Romanian cinema and produce high-quality and inspirational films for the European market and the whole world. That's got to be good.
Wonderful.
Isn't it? Yeah, exactly.
That would be absolutely wonderful. We watch a lot of foreign movies. Mm.
So you see, Lara, already what I'm basically nudging is Annette Andre would make a fabulous character in a whole heap of movie scenarios from that point of view. I mean, she's just from Randlin Hopkirk, deceased, right the way through to her extremely wonderful work with Roger Moore and other sort of folk. I think it's time we revived your movie career, Annette. See what we're going on this one. You know, gradually.
Oh, I think so. That's an excellent idea.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I'm all up for that.
So it's something, Lara, you can check out AnnetteAndre.com to find out further details.
Oh, definitely.
Annette, have you got any questions?
And I will look up yours. I will look up yours, Lara.
Thank you. Very nice to meet you.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm looking. Do you have your fashions on there?
Yes, I have it on my website, and also it's TEYXO, the name of the brand. So it's TEYXO, okay. And if you Google it, you'll find all the websites on Etsy, on TEYXO Style, my website, everything, it will be there.
So, Annette,
oh, good. I'll look it up.
Now,
yes.
Now, I appreciate we don't normally set you homework, but given that your good self, hopefully, and Arthur will be with us next week, can we actually yeah. say that between now and then, you'll have had a chance to have actually had looked at Lara's stuff, etc., and come back with a little critique, you know, so we have a San Diego connection
Absolutely.
From that point of view. Excellent.
Absolutely, yes. I'll get Arthur and stick him in front of the screen and...
let's take it for that. Annette, it's been fabulous as ever connecting with your good self. And one of these days, when we get you sorted out with Skype as well, we can actually sort of do the whole show, just as the whole sort of thing's there. So it was fingers crossed that we were actually hopeful we would connect with Lara, but the technology is there. Forget the dark days
of good,
forget the days of Ceausescu. They've gone. You know, it's a whole new bright surface which is coming through here. Have you had a reason?
Now, what happens, of course, is if you have that, is that, you know, it's sort of not early because I'm usually at the gym, but it doesn't give me time to sort of put my hair up and put the makeup on and do all that. I'll have to be there in a scarf and sunglasses.
Yeah, it's always good rigour and good acting rigour for your talented actors, etc. Just in case people are wondering in terms of time, in Lincoln, England, it's just coming up to 12 minutes past 6 p.m. In Romania, in Bucharest, I believe it's 20 past 8 in the... Oh, sorry, it's coming up to 12 minutes past 8 p.m. in the evening.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And in San Diego, it'll be about 12 minutes past 10 in the morning. So
10 in the morning, exactly. That's right.
You see, finally, Eva, we've managed to get that global connectivity going, which is joyous.
Oh, they're
really.
Very confusing.
We'll get there.
It's wonderful. It's very exciting.
Annette, your final decision to be made here is, would you like Dooley Wilson's As Time Goes By or Jimmy Durante's As Time Goes By?
I've never heard him.
Really? Well, all right, stay with us and we'll ask you those last two questions after we've given you 2 minutes 29 seconds of Jimmy Durante singing As Time Goes By. And Lara, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, because you're booked in as the co-presenter, because obviously Phil Hurd would be devastated if he sort of left us before he joined us. Stay with us.
I am here with you.
You must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings, as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate, that no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by.
Annette. I think it's fair to say, Annette, that when you connected with us for the first time for this telephonic link and what's become a regular series, you never quite anticipated that by the December of 2017 we'd be playing Jimmy Durante singing As Time Goes By for you.
And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Absolutely. I got chills there, Annette. I thought for a moment, whoa, she's channeling the spirit of Jimmy Durante as well. It's amazing. I bet it's wondrous.
Arthur was standing here listening to it as well.
Oh, Arthur showing good taste there. We will connect in every sense of ways. Brilliant.
Yeah.
We will speak to both of you next week then, if that's okay.
Absolutely, yes.
Excellent.
Had a wonderful time.
Well, that's what it's all about, really, is sharing those wonderful memories with, of course, our listener also there as well. Great stuff. Annette and Arthur, indirectly, thank you. Lara, we're back with your good self. Jimmy Durante, had he ever crossed the ocean? I mean, I would have thought you might not have ever encountered the great Hollywood star that was Jimmy Durante.
Oh, no, not really.
No. Well, there we are. It's, again.
It's such a beautiful song. I mean, I listened to it and
I think I'm changed. If pushed, I might still say I prefer the Dooley Wilson version, but never mind. Life continues. We will be hopefully speaking in a few moments to either Philip Hurdwood or Owen Paul. We'll find out more about Lara's fantastic work and also news about the Old Land, which we've spoken about before, and we'll be connecting with that as well. Meanwhile, I think it's time, as promised earlier in the production, for just a smidgen of Donna Summer.
Drive and Midweek Drive morning editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM, a 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Quite right, too. And as we said, Tessa's not too busy to get in today. She's waking her little fingers to a bone, but never mind. Eva MacDonald is with us in the studio and making her debut as an honorary midweek drivette from Bucharest, Romania. Of course, the fabulous Lara Roxana Popa. Are you still there, Lara?
Yes, I'm here with you guys.
Because, of course, you know, there is a chap who you've just heard his dulcet tones there doing a sensational ident. He is the man of a million voices. Man of a million voices. When I actually said, you could join us for the whole show. Yeah, you could join us for the whole show. He hasn't managed to suss out the Skype scenario as yet, you know, but he's there. Welcome, Philip Hurdwood, traditional mechanism. How are you?
I am. Well, I'm better. I couldn't do the show by post. I thought about it, but then, you know, I could have done it, but it would have taken eight, then you would have replied, and a week would have gone by, and all the listeners would have been bored to it.
This is so true, and in case you're wondering, yes, the script did actually say, welcome, Philip Hurdwood, technical mechanism there, which I don't know. It's just
Philip Hurdwood, technical mechanism. I'm not a technical mechanism.
Exactly.
Philip Hurdwood, technical mechanism.
Precisely.
I've been called many things in my life.
In your time, exactly. Yes. Of course, the wonderful thing for Lara and Eva is we started doing radio programs before either Lara or Eva had actually made their debuts on the planet.
I think that's probably about right.
But again, Eva, that's precisely so. I mean, it's amazing that. But we can at least formally say that it's thanks to, initially to Philip Hurdwood with the old country and the dream that's coming through. Lara, share with us first of all, how did you encounter Philip Hurdwood first of all?
We met actually in London, at a pitching event. You know those kind of speed pitching events when you meet with producers, with people from the film industry, and you pitch ideas.
Yeah. And Philip, I mean, normally he strikes me as a very capable, sound and rocking and rolling individual. What was your first impression?
A Philip.
Yes.
She was so taken aback.
Exactly. Completely. Philip, once again, you left a woman speechless. What can I say? You know.
I think the word is aghast. Aghast.
All right.
That same energy. That was great, and that's why we continued to talk via email, and eventually created this partnership, creative partnership, because we immediately had, you know, that sparkle, that creative drive, and that was amazing, and it's very hard to find.
Well, Sparky Pictures and the Old Land, we've been talking about it for some considerable time now as a little trailer coming on. Philip, would you like to just reprise? And obviously Lara can correct you and say, that's not how it happened at all. I remember it well.
Yes, it is exactly that. No. I mean, it's like, you know, you find, you know, creatively, you find, sounds a bit pretentious, but you find creative kindred spirits. So, you know, once in a blue moon, they're few and far between. You know, and it just kind of worked, you know, and what can I say? I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, you just, it's sort of two minds thinking of one, really, thinking like one, and it really is, you know, very good, it's great, you know, and you know, we have many other ideas, many other things planned. We've got a couple of ideas for reality shows, which are right now with a producer in Australia, you know, a media agency out there, and so we're developing those as well, so... Yeah, there's lots. We've got lots, kind of, you know, going on, really, and yeah. Great.
Okay, we do.
So, as I say, in a few moments, we'll be going off to Los Angeles again to actually speak to Phil Leonis. I know he's very keen on co-creation and co-production and this whole notion. His movie, The Lady Killers, is out now, and it's very timely given the kind of toxic patriarchy that we've been suffering from in society in all manner of ways recently. Returning to yourself, Lara. In terms of the experience from fashion, design, through pictures, mentioned Sparky Pictures and so on, if we were to actually say you were given the choice tomorrow of focusing on one particular field, which one would it be? You could break Philip's heart here at this moment.
This is the hardest question ever. Yeah. And I keep asking myself this question all the time. And I really can't say one. I think cinema is, in a way, my first love, you know, acting and films, and fashion kind of happened from the need of wanting to change the world, to change everything that's going on in fashion now and with women. So they're both very, very strong in me, and I do have this passion for both.
And as a producer of graphic narratives, sequential storytelling, or writing comics, how did you get into writing comics as an art form?
That was actually a job. I had no idea of anything about comics. I didn't read comics. And it was a job, and I started learning, you know, and collaborating with a guy who was doing all the illustrations. So it was kind of easy, you know, to work with him. I was coming up with ideas, and he was illustrating them, and...
And obviously people are aware of the enormous potential that comic books actually have from that point of view. Are they translated into English, or is it a case of, no, if you want to read my comics, you've got to learn Romanian?
Yeah, you do. Oh. They're actually about fairy tales, most of them, about the Romanian fairy tales.
Oh. Well, I mean, that's interesting, because we've had, obviously, Hans Christian Andersen. We've had the Grimm Brothers.
Yeah, I love those. Those are my childhood.
The Disneyfication. So what's an example of a narrative of a Romanian fairy tale? Because, I mean, it's fair to say, I mean, Eva, I'm not sure whether you would appreciate this, and Philip might, but mention Romania, instantly you think Vlad Dracul, Vlad the Impaler, vampires, etc. You know, you think, what's going on? And clearly you have already proven, Laura, that, you know, that's nonsense, because, you know, you've already wowed us in the 27 minutes you've been part of the programme so far. So what as Philip said you would, to be fair, you know, I should not doubt the man. He just, as Graham Harper once said, you want an ideal person? Get Philip Herdwood. And he's a BAFTA Radio director. Laura, in terms of a typical Romanian fairy tale, what's the sort of narrative?
Well, there's something like Fat Frumos, isn't there, though? There's Fat Frumos. And...
Yeah, Fat Frumos. It's always about the fight between good and evil, and the fact that, you know, good wins in the end. And it's about you always have maybe a prince and a princess, and they fight. They do fight with dragons, actually. Not really Draculas, but there are dragons in most of the fairy tales. Or mystical creatures and all sort of that. And always the prince saves the princess. So in the end, the good overcomes. So I think it's basically like most of the stories around the world.
There was a time, of course, back in the day, where we were hearing all sorts of changes in terms of the post-Ceausescu Romania, the challenges that were being faced there. As I was sharing with Philip, in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, that has changed. I mean, in a sense, that's a really positive side of how a country has been through very dark times and emerged very much as a new 21st century, dynamic, forward-thinking nation, really.
Yeah, that's true. I think, well, I can't talk about communism because I was only one when revolution happened. Yeah. So I didn't really catch it and have a sense of it. But my parents, of course, my grandparents had it. Then it changed a lot after the 90s, of course, and especially after 2000 when we entered in the European Union. Yeah. Things change and...
Yeah, things will change for us in Britain, actually, Laura, when we actually leave the European Union, but I won't get started on that one.
Let's
not, yeah.
I'm very sad, you know, for that.
Yeah, your side, you know, Lord, never mind, you know, we're sure we'll cope in some way, shape or form. That's assuming you don't mind us all coming over to Romania. It's a thought.
No, Philip was talking about having a passport, a Romanian passport. The other day, I was saying, okay, if you do want to have a Romanian passport,
we can arrange things.
We can arrange things. Yes,
We know the right people.
I'm your girl here in Romania. Get you the passport.
But to pick up slightly on your question, there, you know, frankly, I mean, since when I was in Romania the first time was, I don't know, about what, 14 years ago, something like that, 10, 12, 12 years ago, something like that, and then, you know, having gone in the last couple of years, quite a few times. It's changed even in that short space of time. It's become, you know, roads are better, the subway's great, you know, the airport's been it's just like a proper international airport. You know, there's all sorts of new buildings, people are refreshed. I think even the main sort of the Oxford Street, Bond Street of Bucharest, which is Calle Victoria, which is the principal, that is now one of the most expensive shopping streets in the world. you know, it's become a very forward, it's become a very wealthy, and, you know, its GDP is great. It's, you know, there's a very positive atmosphere in the country. And part of what our film's about is really, is about that, is about celebrating that and saying, you know, that Romania isn't all broken roads and corruption and gypsies and, you know, dark, depressing tower blocks, you know, although that's sure. something that happens in all, in countries all across, you know, the world. But, you know, we wanted to celebrate really what is very positive about Romania, its rich cultural history, its fantastic people, you know, and all the rest of it. And those are the sorts of, and not leaving aside anything else, the absolutely jaw-dropping countryside, the mountains, the Carpathians, mm-hmm. and everything. And you know, that's really where we are with you know, our ideas about the story, really.
I sense, Philip, that as a Northern Ireland lad, you've been a Belfast student who studied with Liam Neeson and other things. I sense you've been completely drawn in to the Romanian Carpathian ways, which is wonderful.
Absolutely. I mean, it is unutterably beautiful. One of the most beautiful places on Earth, really. And, you know, we're lucky that there is an organisation called the European Nature Trust, and they are building a wildlife and refuge, a kind of a sanctuary, if you like, to rival Yellowstone Park in America. And it'll be of great importance, not just for the Romanian Carpathians, but for the Carpathians across that whole European section. It's of enormous, you know, significance. And we are very lucky to be working with that organization as a charity partner. So, you know, it's something which is going to be vital to us all. And I believe even Prince Charles is associated with it, because he's got a house, I think, in the Carpathians, and, you know, supports wildlife and organic farming and all of those things, which are, you know, are things that happen up in the Carpathians. You only have to sort of, you know, go to the, you know, look in the fields all around, and you'll find that because they don't use pesticides and insecticides and all this rubbish, they use the natural way. They have wonderful crops, and all the margins of the fields are just covered in wildflowers and butterflies, and it's just
they have decent levels of selenium in the soil, but that's another line entirely. Eva, you've got a message from one of our regular listeners in Buxton. She would like to say
she's tuned in to Siren Radio with Alex Lefchuk.
Marvellous. Thank you, Penny Evans. That's marvellous. Exactly. You see, even Buxton, Derbyshire has joined this international coterie, which has taken us.
It's an international. It's a clique.
You've got San Diego, you've got Lincoln, England, you've got Little London, you've got Romania and Bucharest, and we've got Los Angeles to come. Philip,
how about that?
Yeah, amazing.
It's ticking over. We will get more about the old land in a few moments from Lara, but Eva now has to put those last two questions to you so we can facilitate Phil Leonis joining us from Los Angeles, who I'm sure have one or two things to say. So, Eva?
I do. So, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Oh, yes.
As always,
definitely.
Thank you very much, very much.
Lara, you're staying with us, hopefully, so don't leave.
Okay,
oh, yes.
Sure.
No, critical stuff here. You, Lara, you can say because you've worked out how to use Skype. That's the important thing. Philip's reward when he works out how to use Skype will be to stay as well.
I shall stand in the corner.
The lucky one tonight.
So the next question for Philip, Eva, is...
And will we be hearing again from you soon?
I very much hope so. I shall await Alexius's call.
Absolutely.
I know they say you can't go home again. I just had to come back one last time. Ma'am, I know you don't know me from Adam, but these handprints on the front steps are mine. Up those stairs in that little back bedroom is where I did my homework and I learned to play guitar. And I bet you didn't know, under that live oak, my favorite dog is buried in the yard. I thought if I could touch this place, I'll feel it. This brokenness inside me might start healing. I thought that maybe I could find my nothing but a memory from the house that built me. Mama cut out pictures of houses for years, from Better Homes and Garden magazine. Plans were drawn and concrete poured, nail by nail and board by board. Daddy gave life to Mama's dream. I thought if I could touch this place, so feel it. This brokenness inside me might start healing. Just come in, I swear I'll leave. Won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me. You leave home, you move on, and you do the best you can. I got lost in this old world and forgot who but a memory from the house that built me.
The house that built me, Miranda Lambert.
10:30 a.m. in L.A. can only mean it's time for the Midweek Drive team to welcome their top Californian cultural correspondent, Phil Leonis, back for another segment of Cultural Perspicacity.
Yes, you see, Laura, that's some of the duties that Phil Hurdwood prefers for his namesake in Los Angeles. They've never met, but it's always nice. We'll get one for you written before too long. I might invite Phil Leonis to actually do a voiceover for your good self. Phil Leonis, can I formally welcome you to the show and introduce you to our ace new Romanian correspondent? I think it's fair to say, Eva, that she's blown us away so far this evening.
Blown us away.
Oh, thank you.
Very much so. To the extent that Romania is now flying its flag proudly in the Midweek Drive team.
Well, it should.
and the Chilpack Hollywood team, and many, many more, including the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. Good morning, Phil Leonis.
Good morning, Alex. I love that you referenced Laura as your new ace Romanian correspondent, which sort of makes it sound like the old ace Romanian correspondent didn't do a good enough job and got fired. But
we don't like to talk
we don't talk about
vampires. We don't talk about Ceausescu. There are certain things we just step away from. You know, in years to come, people will say we don't talk.
Much as the Russians got eliminated from the 2018 Winter Olympics because of the doping scandal, so too did all the Romanian correspondents on the Midweek Drive get eliminated due to another. But you know.
I see. I shall be afraid, right?
No.
Measure my words.
Laura, as we say, I think it's... I mean, Eva's already been giving you not one, but two thumbs up in the studio. So
really? Thank you.
If Eva McDonald gives you the thumbs up, you know it's all
it's
well
pass.
With the world. Exactly.
Oh, perfect.
Anyway, Phil, what would you like to do? Would you like to talk to Laura about how, together with Phil Hurdwood, she's looking to revive Romanian cinema to produce high-quality and inspirational films for the European market and the whole world? Or would you like to talk about the Lady Killers? Or would you like to... I mean, it's your segment of the show, Phil, so take it away, please.
Well, I had actually prepared. I thought you were going to ask me about how Los Angeles is literally on fire right now.
Yeah, but we thought that's negative.
Hundreds of thousands of people. No, I'm seriously in. I managed to be in a little bit of a pocket where we could talk that is not evacuated. We're having hundreds of thousands of evacuations. Freeways are closed down right now. It is scary, scary stuff right now. But so I've written a full report, but I guess I'll save that for the weather report on the morning edition of the Midweek Drive. But yes, of course, I want to hear about Romanian cinema. Now, I have been a part of productions that have filmed as, I guess, as far east from our perspective as Bulgaria, but I've never had the chance to film or to work with film crews in Romania. I want to know more. I imagine that there was at one time certainly a film industry there, and that there are people with, because this was my experience in Bulgaria, there had been many years off, but there were these crews that had a great deal of experience. So I'm eager to hear more about Romania.
Perfect. So there are many, many crews that come from America or all over the world to film in Romania because it's probably very cheap or cheaper than the other world. So it's a great deal of business on this side of international crews, international films made here. But for the Romanian films, the story is not so good. It's not so great. I mean, we have a lot. We have some, you know, maybe you heard of Mungiu. He was in Cannes last year.
Oh, of course, yes.
Yeah, so there are some young directors who start, you know, to make a difference in the world in cinema. But there are so many films about communism, about Ceausescu, and a lot of people are kind of sick of this. Subjects like you are, Alex. About.
Enough already. He had a statue. It was pulled down. He wasn't a nice chap. Let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll say the same about a certain Trump, I'm sure, in years to come. You know, it'll happen.
30 years, you know, that subject has passed. Yeah. And people keep doing these films with this subject. And that's why we want to do something else. And it is something else. It's a different story and...
Well, there have been a handful, like you point out, Christian Mungiu. I mean, there have been a handful of films that have come out that have made waves here from Romania, and they're films of deep humanity and great poetry. What can we look forward to with your project? What kind of movie will this be?
Well, we want to make this a more European film, not only a Romanian film. So Romania plays an important role here. It is kind of the leading lady, if you want to say so, because we want to film in the whole country. So we have scenes in Bucharest and in the mountains, in the Carpathians, and we also want to show, you know, the beauty of it. But we want to make it a European film. Luckily, we can bring it to United States as well, you know, to bring it to the world, to show people Romania and all the beauties.
I've got to say, Lara, that I've had a look at some of the initial footage that you've shot, and I echo Phil Hurdwood's line. You've got some awesome footage there. If you think that David Lynch's work in Twin Peaks was special, just check out some of the Romanian footage that's on. It's extraordinary, really wonderful.
So you're saying David Lynch's work in Romanian film is even better. Is that what you're saying?
No.
I see.
I'm saying that I don't think Lynch has ever filmed in Romania, as far as I'm aware.
No, I don't think so.
I'm talking about the landscapes and the additional
stuff.
It was an odd
analogy then. It was an odd, odd reference.
Phil, you know me in odd analogies. Middle name.
All right. Okay.
Eva, from your own perspective, having listened to Laura, having listened to Phil there, any thoughts on the sort of the discussion, the debate? I mean, when you go to see a film in the cinema, does it bother you where the location is? Do you like to see the venues and so on?
Doesn't really bother me where the location is. I mean, if it's a very... Obviously, I prefer the more beautiful, more... locations that is obviously more visually appealing, if that makes sense, than more dull locations. So, it doesn't
but
really
we don't necessarily want CGI. That's the important thing. You know, don't do CGI because sometimes it's not quite as real.
Doesn't? Yeah, well, let me drop in here.
Let me drop in here for just a minute, Alex, to talk about the importance of locale while I answer other phone calls.
Yeah, that's fine.
At a time when still so much of world cinema is dominated by what comes out of America, it's very frustrating because much of the American makeup is to try to see the rest of the world as we are, or to try to make other places like us. Mm. And so it's really important that, I think greater than ever before, that in cinema, the location is a character in the film, that the location greatly affects the story that is being expressed through the human characters. And so I love it. I love the more I can immerse myself in films that authentically depict a different place and maybe even a different time. I think it's necessary.
Yes.
Something else.
I agree.
Something else, Laura, which I think is necessary, and I want to share with Phil, because I know on his weekly Chilpack Hollywood show, which he shares with Dean Haglund, who makes some unusual noises off, actually, it has to be said. I mean, ever since Dean sadly lost his wonderful doggy, there's some strange tap, tap, tapping noises. It's almost as though he gets bored halfway through and starts taking the time. It's most peculiar. But apart from that, they have been running a feature on the awful scenario of what they refer to as a toxic patriarchal system that's actually around, and that's one of the reasons I was particularly interested, Lara, from your own point of view, that with TAYXO, the pronunciation is
TAYXO.
Urban fashion, a brand that strives to empower women, change stereotypes, offers a tool for building a community for amazing, beautiful, and powerful women who break the rules and change the world. And I'm thinking, yeah, I think Phil Lyons and Lily Holliman and the whole team would go for this. But share with us, Lara, a little bit more about TAYXO.
Okay, so like I said, I've started from my own need of having this amazing clothes. And when I showcased, my first shop was on Etsy. I think you all know the platform. Mm-hmm. And I opened it in at the end of 2013. But in 2014, I started, you know, really getting onto it. And the impact I had on all the women all over the world, now I sell in 70 countries. And I get all these messages, you know, from women from 20 to 70 years old. I have beautiful old ladies, you know, wearing funky clothing. And they all say, thank you. Thank you so much for making us feel so beautiful, making us feel thin and stylish and free. And this, I think, this is the best thing and the thing that keeps me going on.
You don't get many actresses who actually diversify to the extent that they actually become patron saints as well. But anyway, Phil, any thoughts from your own perspective? Because we're going to set exactly the same homework for yourself as we did for Annette Andre earlier in the program, to actually check out Laura's site and website and come back with a full report next week, whether or not you've got a house that's not been burned to the ground or whatever. That's important, obviously. But, you know, you always have to hop on a plane and you're always welcome in Lincoln, England.
Oh, in Romania, actually.
I am already dressed head to foot in TAYXO right now.
Oh,
okay.
No way.
and I always have been, and I always will be.
Oh.
And but I think that this is so important, not just Laura, for women and for your community, but also for you, because too much of show business is patriarchal. And those foundations are starting to fall, but it is very hard to navigate this business for women to maintain their individuality, to maintain their own unique sense of worth and self and power. And I'm glad for you that you have an outlet that allows you not only to explore that, but to express it and to remind yourself of it, no matter what you're facing. Because you know, as an actress, you are going to come up against things that try to turn you into something you are not.
That's so true. Oh, thank you, Phil, for these words. I mean, you have touched a spot there, you know, made the point. Because I do have this balance. I found my balance, I think, through TAYXO. And this is amazing for an actor, like you said.
It's almost like an emotional scene we're having, Eva. I do feel as though we've connected this. You know, previously there was the Iron Curtain was set up. After we've broken down those boundaries. Let's hope our listeners on the CIA service are quite happy that the sort of things that we're doing, which is wonderful stuff. Anyway, Phil, any other final thoughts or questions you'd like to put to either Eva or indeed Lara about life, the universe, and so on? Or would you like to just tell us how close the flames are getting to you at this moment?
The fires are really scary. I mean, we've got the Getty Art Center is threatened. So sad what has happened to countless horses, for example. But I want to end on a positive note. I want to hear from Eva what her favorite part of the show has been.
Oh, what my favorite part of the show. Because I'm a massive fan of Panto, I really enjoyed talking to Amelia Chambers and Natalie, is it Hayes Cowley, I think her name
is? It is indeed Natalie Hayes Cowley.
That's it, I got them right. I'm really looking forward to the Lincoln Panto this year, so it was really interesting to talk to them. And of course, it's always interesting to talk to Phil as well.
Always.
Yeah. In general, those are my two highlights, really. But any part of the show, I really enjoy talking to, obviously. Everyone who's been talking.
Lara, Annette, the whole sort of setup.
Well, I will use Ava's highlights to direct my attention to the podcast, where I will go first.
Yeah, exactly. When I listen to and would you like to have a Phil Herdwood podcast ident to actually help you on your way from that, given that it's your namesake who said he was responsible for our connection with Romania this evening?
Well, my name is not Herdwood, so he's not my name.
Exactly.
But I live for podcast ident. You know that about me.
Yeah. Well, here it comes.
Missed some of the many amazing interviews and features on the Midweek Drive? Relax and check out the podcast highlights on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Did that help, Phil? Has it filled a hole?
I'm sorry, I wasn't really listening.
Never mind. Lara, it's been a blast sharing the last 52 minutes with your good self. Have you enjoyed your first contribution to the Midweek Drive?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Excellent.
And hope to speak with you all soon.
Very soon. I was going to say that's the next question, because I'm going to actually ask you in Romanian to actually wish Phil and indeed possibly all this in Romanian to actually wish Phil and our Californian folk and indeed the globe really a happy Christmas and a good New Year. So Lara, would you like to just share some authentic Romanian for
Romanian.
Us?
Romanian, yes. Okay, guys, prepare. Crăciun fericit. Și un an nou bun.
Genius. That's what I challenge you.
I did say another thing actually.
what did you say?
A naughty thing.
Oh no!
Do we want to know?
No,
that's what
no.
I was
just going to say that's the challenge for Phil Herdwood to actually end Chilpack Hollywood with either this week or next week. Actually, say it one more time, Lara, so Phil can actually put it on repeat. You can give Phil Leonis a lesson in the Romanian. Are you ready for this, Phil?
You just said Phil Herdwood could end Chilpack Hollywood Hour.
Did I say Phil Herdwood and Chilpack Hollywood Hour?
Yeah,
you did.
Well, you see, this is it. You know, sometimes you just get very confused about the Phils actually there.
So my 2 points. So my 2 points are, one, of course I want to hear her say it again. I would listen to her say it over and over again. And two, Alex, you're dead to me.
After all these years as well, never mind.
Okay, so I'm going to say it one more time. Crăciun fericit.
Crăciun fericit.
This means Merry Christmas.
Nice, yeah. Crăciun fericit. Phil, we're not hearing
good.
You. We're not hearing you.
I'm enjoying you, Alex, sounding like you're speaking Klingon. That I'm enjoying.
Okay, Crăciun fericit.
Yes, you nailed it. And un an nou bun.
Un an no bun.
Bun. A good bun. Year. Have a new, a bun. Good
an
new year.
Bun. Well, I think that puts Dust for Dania into the top hat, really.
Well done.
Great stuff.
Clap for Alex.
Yeah, well, no, a clap for us all in many ways. A round of applause for everybody. It's been an awesome show. Thanks to Anna Lewis from Jersey. Yeah. William Coles, he'll be on his train to Edinburgh and back with us in the morning. Thanks to Annette Andre, to Phil Herdwood, obviously, to Amelia Chambers and Natalie Hayes Cowley, and to Lara Roxana Popper and Phil Leonis, and you, dear listener. That's pretty much a wrap. Phil, have we put those last two questions to Lara?
I don't think we have.
Technically, Phil is head boy. Actually, Phil Leonis is head boy now, so he has that seniority. So, Mr. Leonis, would you like to ask those last two questions to Lara Roxana Popper before, of course, tomorrow morning you have the joy of welcoming back to the Midweek Drive team Emma Tinson?
Oh, well, that'll be exciting. Lara, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us here today?
Yes, definitely, so much.
And can we look forward to speaking with your good self again in hopefully the near future?
Yes, right. For sure. I had an amazing time, and thank you.
It's that kind of definiteness.
To that, I say, kachun fetichit. That's what I say.
Oh, perfect.
Yay.
So he listened. He was a very good student. He listened. He didn't say anything, and now he said it. Perfect.
He's always listening. That's why he's such an amazing director. Anyway, so goes. it's like credits galore. Thanks to the team. We're out of here with a little touch of Sam Smith and one last song, plus heaps of good stuff turning up as far as Siren Radio is concerned. We'll be back in the morning, 8 a.m. UK time, of course, and midnight in Los Angeles, all being well, to have the updates from Phil weather-wise. Just a little heads up, Phil, you might be interested in knowing that Hurricane Caroline is on its way to the UK. That's Hurricane Caroline. So could be an interesting sort of weather report from that. Emma Tinson, as I mentioned, will be with us. David Icke, conspiracy theorist extraordinaire, is joining us on the production, and a whole heap of others. So that's it. Can we all say farewell? A one, a two, a three.
Farewell.
Farewell.
Farewell. Maybe one day I won't see.